Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Folks, welcome to Democratic Perspective. Sitting across from me is
Mike Cosentino. Finally, want to say good morning to sweet baby Ray, because I wasn't here last week and he was disappointed. And that's a good thing, you know. I build up, what is it? What do they call it?
It's a good thing when you're not here.
Well, excuse me, co-host. Did you miss me? Miss who? Mike who? All right, we got it this morning, boy. Get out your notepads and your thinking caps, because the coctopus. We're going to talk about the coctopus.
Right, and we've got Gary LeMaster, one of our producers, in the show. Say hello, Gary.
Our third wheel again.
That's
third
it. There was too much for us to carry. We needed another wheel to haul this load.
Yeah, and gosh, we started. Two, three years ago, almost, talking about dark money and politics, about the Koch brothers. It's gotten more.
Let me start with that stat. $1 in $4 of dark money in 2012, $1 of $4 came from a Koch-funded organization. We're going to talk about the zillions of Koch-funded organizations.
So the Koch brothers, David and Charles Koch, are major, major contributors to political campaigns. And they drew it through a maze of different organizations. It's almost impossible to penetrate. I showed it Gary and Mike a diagram here from the Washington Post of all these different organizations. And in order to make it clear, the Washington Post had to divide it into color-coded sections so that you can go through a section and see how these groups are all related to each other.
The Post and our friends at OpenSecrets.org work together on tracking the Kochs.
Yes. And so...
All other dark money, by the way.
And
it's not just focused on the Koch.
Open Secrets is a great source.
I guess before we talk about the Koch-topus,
yes,
it's getting more and more elaborate, more and more complex.
I'm sorry.
Before we do that, Mike, I want to read some of the names.
Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. Here are some of the organizations that make up the Koch-topus. There's Americans for Prosperity. Generational Opportunity is aimed at younger people. There's a group aimed at Latinos. But they're one corporate shell after another. So let me read you some names. One of them is called SLAH LLC, Limited Liability Corporation. And there's another one called ORRA, Limited Liability Corporation. POFN, Limited Liability Corporation. PRDIST, Limited Liability Corporation. And TRGN LLC. So there's all these groups, and they deliberately have one of their biggest groups was called TC4 Trust.
Right.
Now, you don't do all this stuff.
The one we're most familiar with is Americans for Prosperity.
Yeah. You don't do all this stuff unless you really want to hide where the money is coming from. It's very hard for us to know, for example, this in 2012, they raised around $400 million. It's hard to know how much comes directly from the two Koch brothers and how much comes from these other corporate people, because the whole point of having this elaborate, complex system is that you can't tell where the money's coming. Now, let me just quote, and I'll hand this over to Mike. This is from Lloyd Mayer at the University of Notre Dame. He's a law professor. He says about the Koch-topus, it's designed to make opaque as to where the money is coming from and where the money is going. No lay person thought this up. It would only be worth it if you were spending the kind of dollars the Koch brothers are, because it was not cheap. In other words, one of the things when you calculate how much money is going to the contribution, they never calculate what it costs to set up all these organizations and all the lawyers and all the complexity.
Right, right. Yeah, the Koch Industries is $100 billion a year organization, and that's a screaming heap of money.
Second largest private corporation in the United States.
Exactly.
Industries. And the Koch Industries gives a whole bunch of political money and through more traditional ways. And then there's the Koch brothers this kind of network. But let's talk,
I just wanted to give credit for the Koch talk. Koch-topus. From a ProPublica article by Kim Barker and Theodoric Mayer, is where we're stealing this, this moniker, the Coctopus. It was a ProPublica article reprinted in the Arizona Republic. That's all. That seems like a kind of a cool term.
Yeah, and it may be also used in the Washington Post back in January. People started talking about it. And the reason for it may sound like an exaggeration, but if you look at the charts, it's not. It is the most incredibly complex. And so these organizations trade money around. So you have an organization, and there's a limit to how much you can spend or disclose on a candidate. You have another one of these organizations give you money. So this money laundering. And the story that Mike is referring to was that a fellow named, what's his name, Sean Noble,
yeah,
in Arizona, was a major money laundering outfit. He had nothing but a post office box, and tens of millions of dollars came through of this one particular individual. And what was it? I think it was like the Committee for Protection of Patient Rights or something like that.
$137 million. So this Noble apparently was a congressional aide until he was plucked, according to the article, by the Koch brothers,
right,
to distribute this money.
Right. And he got caught, or we found out about this organization, only because they transferred, I think, $10 million to California. And somebody in California, where the laws are different than Arizona, demanded to know where this money was coming from.
Right.
And so they got caught. Often these guys who are massaging, transferring, hiding money, whether they're just criminals like Jack Abramoff, or they're people who are doing politics, they make them a single mistake. And Jack Abramoff, when Mike and Gary and I were down at an Open Secret conference, he made one mistake. He had hidden everything really well, but he filed the corporation papers for one of his dummy corporations in the District of Columbia instead of in Delaware. Almost everything the Koch brothers and all these other groups is filed in Delaware, where you have to disclose almost nothing.
Right.
And because Jack Abramoff disclosed it in D.C., he got caught. Then once they saw that, they were able to put together the whole thing. So whether it's a criminal enterprise like Jack Abramoff is doing, or a political pressure group, like the Koch brothers have organized, this structure of these things is similar. The other thing that the law professors at Notre Dame is saying is this is not put together by ordinary people. This is they're probably spent millions of dollars just putting together this complex.
I should point out that Steve read off a list of entities or organizations. That's only just scratching the surface. And in 2012, there were 12 nonprofits and 11 social welfare nonprofits and one trade association that the Kochs funneled money through. And now that number is exploding, and they're looking into other things. They're using a vehicle that I had never heard of before. It's called a disregarded entity.
A disregarded entity. So you've got the groups, and then you've got
disregarded entities.
I'm a disregarded person, but
Nancy will say I'm a disregarded entity often.
But it's a way of funneling money and hiding it more easily. And again, it's like a list of initials. Of these things is like T-O-H-E or O-R-R-A or the M-I-C or T-R-G-N. It goes on and on and on. And then this year, they've not only used these nonprofits and the disregarded entities. I always keep forgetting that name. But now they're getting into the use of trust. So that's
the newest innovation, isn't it?
It's a
trust. Well, everything that they're doing is to hide where the money is coming from, right, Gary?
And give greater, the idea behind the trust is to give greater control. So the Kochs who provide money to it can, to any trust that they name, they can control who runs it. behind the scenes without having to reveal who they are.
So I think that they became concerned about the case in Arizona, where the fellow running the organization took a whole lot of money for his fees, and the Koch brothers seem to have tightened up their organization now, right, Gary?
And more control.
They want more control, not less control of how this money.
And before you say, well, the liberals and the Democrats do it too. In looking through this structure, so far no one has found that anybody but the Kochs have used this kind of a sophisticated,
unprecedented
empire.
It's unprecedented. Sometimes you have, the NRA has gives money to conservatives, and so does the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and American Tax Reform. At least you have a clue about who the organization are, and if it's a union gives money to politics, you can know exactly who's given money.
Two things I want to talk about. I want to talk about the Americans for Responsible Leadership. Let's finish that Arizona connection.
Sure.
The Center to Protect Patient Rights, the Koch-funded group, ended up providing 97% of the money for Americans for Responsible Leadership, the Arizona group, that ended up getting fined $1 million by California because, as you said earlier, they have different laws. Noble was chief of staff eventually for John Shattuck, a conservative politician that from Arizona, and then became this shill for these two front groups.
So this is a non-existent organization, and even Americans for Prosperity, they ask Americans for Prosperity, how many members do you have? The head of the organization, I think it was the executive director, said, oh, we have a few thousand. This is out of 300 million people in the country. And later they were asked and they said they had, over a million adherents. So they guess the difference between an adherent and
counting money, or
but when you see the ads and in Arizona, as Mike is talking to you, we were a major, because of the laxity of the laws here, a major conduit of a lot of the secret money in Arizona. And the organization that Mike's talking about is the guys who manage that. So Arizona is also ground zero now for Koch brothers spending.
Yeah,
and they began what in September, Mike? With television ads attacking, basically congressional candidates.
And Kirkpatrick, our congressional candidate.
Ron Barber and, Kirsten Sinema.
That money goes a long way in Arizona because our candidates, have so little. If they raise money locally, Arizona is not a particularly wealthy state. They don't funnel a lot of money to political candidates or even political parties. So what the Kochs have found and what a lot of the rich conservatives have found is that you can buy an election really cheaply in Arizona.
Right. And what else to say about Arizona? They started one of the reasons they're spending so much money here, particularly on congressional races, is that the Arizona commission that redefined the boundaries of the congressional districts was objective. And so they put together three very, very closely competitive districts. And that's why the money's is focused here. In other words, Ann Kirkpatrick's the CD1, which in Sedona and the rest of us belong to, a very close election. The same with Ron Barger and, Kirsten Sinema. So there's three districts that are not given. And I think, Mike and Gary can tell you, and we all know that almost all the congressional districts are gerrymandered over the whole country. Very few of them are available either to somebody from the opposite party.
Let me read this on Arizona politics. Despite the fact that the efforts of the Americans for Responsible Leadership and other conservative dark money groups were largely for naught in the 2012 election, that wasn't a good year. The Republican election victories, one individual in the Koch network seemed to make out very well, Sean Noble, the founder and president of the Center to Protect Patient Rights. Americans for Responsible Leadership ended up paying him $8.1 million for in his organization, not
rumors are the Koch brothers are not happy when they found out how much he took out of the organization.
One of the groups that, you know, speaking of Arizona, you know, and spending against candidates, one of the groups that is a Koch trust that's spending right now, I just saw some commercials over the weekend. It's kind of a phony Latino group. It's called the Libre Initiative Trust, which runs money through a disregarded entity called TDNA, and their income, as we can best find at this point, usually you can't find out how much money was spent or run through an entity until after the tax season. So it that's one of the purposes. It takes a 6 month to a year delay.
These are the Latino ads against
Ann Kirkpatrick
and against Obama and against, against Affordable Health Care Act.
And I want a couple more Charles Koch names. Charles Koch helped to build the Institute for Humane Studies. He has another one called the Bill of Rights Institute, another one called Market-Based Management Institute. David Koch, of course, he's the director of the Cato Institute, and you hear that all the time on the radio when they go to the Cato. They list it as a libertarian organization, think tank. So we want to talk about the different, we can talk about the think tanks where a lot of your information comes from.
Right. But, and what the Kochs did, the innovationists set up, they set up think tanks, and then they realized the think tanks couldn't turn right-wing libertarian conservative ideas directly into political action. And then they set up entities that pretended to be, group organization, individual organization. So, and they have a different entity specializing in different things. So the Libre Initiative Trust is aimed at Latinos. And those are the ads you see when you can't figure out, and it says in tiny print, you know, who they are. That's the Koch brothers.
Two more names. Go ahead.
And then the one aimed at younger people is called Generational Opportunity.
There you go.
So they've been mostly not on television, but in mailings, and they contacted millions of young people to try to convince them not to get medical insurance.
So in talking about the Koch-topus, it's kind of natural for us to, and we're going to reel out a couple, we're reeling out names and associations. We have the Mercatus Center and the Reason Foundation are two more David Koch funded organizations. And I've seen, just like you just said, I've seen these names at the bottom of things. I've seen them in Facebook posts. I've seen them in blogs. And this is where the money's coming from. This is a loosely identified but highly organized international, not just nationwide, but that's a whole other show. This is a nationwide effort to,
George Mason University is where the Mercatus Fund is. And it's a public university. And without precedent, the public university allowed the Koch brothers to set up this economic institute.
Wow.
So when you see stuff that says Mercatus Institute, this is the Koch brothers' personal entity in a public university.
Wow.
And they did that by just giving them millions and millions and millions of bucks. And they have kind of control over the message that this group comes out with. So normally when you see conservative stats, they come from, they get massaged through these different groups. And then we're throwing out a whole lot of names. And the reason we're doing that really is just to give everyone to think about how complex this is. So I guess the moral on these ads is, if you don't know, you know, I mean, if the ad says Republican Congressional Committee, you know who did the ad and you know why they did the ad. I would disregard any ads. Many of these are Koch brothers or similar types of groups. Koch brothers are not the only group out there. And all the money coming through the Koch brothers groups is not from the two brothers. It's from a lot of other wealthy individuals that they recruit in their, I think, biannual meetings and stuff.
If it doesn't have a candidate name on, you know, as a sponsor, you know, the old famous, I'm John McCain and I approve of this ad. If it doesn't have that sort of language, and if it isn't directly for a candidate, then it's, or for a party, a political party, then it, you can count on it being a dark money, yeah. you know, a way of manipulating and influencing elections. And I would emphasize manipulate.
And I would ask from the left too. If these entities are advertising, there's much less from the left, and it's usually some union or something. Yeah. But I would say disregard any ad that doesn't have a clear, you're not clear who owns it. And when Mike and I started doing the show, we were papered with tons of stuff from something called the 60 plus, what's that? The 60 plus,
Association.
Association. And we didn't know who is the 60 plus association. You know, we had to look it up with Open
Secret.
Who's
over 60, for God's sakes?
Open Secret provides, traces the money, both liberal and Democratic and Republican conservative money. But at least you can figure out who's behind what.
Yeah.
But if you see those ads, and they're very clever, they're highly produced, and when they talk about the amount of money being spent, they're really talking about the amount of money being spent to purchase the ad time.
Right.
It doesn't include the amount of money to make those ads.
To research.
Which is extremely expensive.
They spend lots of money on researching issues to determine what to put in the ads. Then you have the production of the ads, and then you have the cost of actually airing the ads.
And the Latino ad has little references down at the bottom. These are all phony. And one of them, they starts out with, affordable health care has cost 2.5 million jobs. This is not true. It's a misreading of the status. What the article said, and I think actually, the Congressional Budget Office is really pretty good, but I think when they guess the number of people who are not going to stay full-time employed because they suddenly have medical insurance. When I moved to Sedona, I know I heard that some people from another organization had plenty of money, but they had no medical insurance, so they were working. But I think the number of people who are going to say, "Oh, now I've got medical insurance, now I can quit," is a vastly overestimate. That's my personal position.
Oh, that's crazy. I'm sorry. That's nuts.
You know,
that's
we're not
that's
working for.
So, I just want to slap you for even repeating it. One of the things I wanted to mention. We mentioned liberals, so we're going to go ahead and mention the name George Soros, and then, of course, according to conservatives, at that time when we mention his name, we genuflect and we cross ourselves and we douse ourselves with sage smoke because we mention the name of the one rich liberal that all the conservatives know, and that's George Soros. He does run a hedge fund, and he does have a lot of money. But I'm going to read you some statistics in a minute, but it's, quite frankly, nothing compared to what the Kochs have.
And he sort of stopped giving money. He gave most money in 2003 and 4. I don't say stop. I didn't mean stop, Mike. I meant, you know, he's cut down the amount of contributions incredibly.
Because he hasn't got us a lot left. He's given it all away.
These billionaires, they could give, I mean, To say that the Kochs gave $400 million away in 2012 for the elections, that's chump change. I mean, seriously, they make $100 billion a year with a B off of their corporation.
And we've gotten to a point where it's not just the Koch brothers. We've got, Sheldon Adelson?
Adelson, yeah.
Adelson is actually able to fund his own personal presidential candidate. I mean,
so what you hear? You hear George Soros and the unions. George Soros and the unions balance all, and it doesn't. Now George,
not even
the unions
close.
They do come close to balancing what the Koch brothers contribute, but all of business, as you said, what the Koch brothers organizations often act as a conduit for other business. We're talking dwarfs what unions can spend, dwarfs the millions that unions can spend.
If you could see me, folks, you'd see me shaking my head from side to side because it is so complicated. There's so much money being traded around. I mean, some of these Koch brother organizations give money to the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber of Commerce gives it to candidates, and then the Chamber of Commerce gives it to this organization. So the complexity of this thing is sort of mind-boggling.
Yeah? It is hard to track.
One thing I'd like to point out, this is, as long as we're going over talking points from the right, that Soros does it, the unions do it, et cetera, et cetera. There was a letter in the Arizona Republic this yesterday, this weekend, that, you know, kind of gives you the Tea Party view of corporate or individual spending on elections, is saying, get over it. Democrats have been buying votes for decades. And the talking point is that the Democrats give away all sorts of, you know, billions and billions of dollars in food stamps and other forms of welfare.
They feed children.
This is the Romney talk.
Yeah, it's the 47. It's the takers, you know, and that it's all done just to buy votes. Kind of forgets the notion that it's people who have lost their jobs, people that are the working poor, people that are single parents and making $7 an hour and trying to support a family.
Right.
It's not exactly the equivalent of buying votes.
You're right. That's what they point.
Well, the other thing is the union has 150,000 members, and they're giving the same amount of money as two billionaires that we can at least visibly see.
And the union
money is visible, and we know exactly where it is when you belong to a union. They collect dues sometimes.
I would also point out that of the states that have the greatest amount of poverty and therefore the greatest use of food stamps and other forms of welfare tend to be heavily dominated red states like Arizona. And those states not only take lots and lots of money for social welfare, but they get lots and lots of money like Arizona for federal welfare.
These are all those rugged individualists that pull themselves up by the bootstraps and will shoot you if you don't.
And take government money while disowning the government at the same time.
That's right. Hating the government is in fashion for sure.
There's a whole bunch of new studies out and the title for it, and this is not the academic title, is Rich People Have Less Compassion, Psychological Research Suggests.
We got something that puts these guys on,
yeah,
puts them on the couch.
And they did
this
some studies
about
behavior of drivers arriving at an intersection, whether the guys in the big fancy cars are more aggressive and more taking place. They did one that, and I don't have that in front of me, which was a Monopoly game. All right. So they...
I love these things that put these guys on the couch like they did Bush. I mean, this is...
It's interesting. They did. They showed people films. One of like starving children. The other one of how to build a patio. And they looked at how different people income responded to the different videos. But the one I like is this Monopoly game. And they gave one of the participants, you know, twice as much money or something as the other participant, and better position on the board. And then after the Monopoly game was over, they asked the guy who had won, because he started out with twice as much money as the other guy and could move faster and so forth and so on, what allowed him to win. No one ever mentioned that they started out with the advance.
It was his own ability.
It was own ability. I bought, you know, Park Place and put, you know, it was all based on a perception of their skill. And I think that's one reason, one of the problems that you have is if a lot of this and...
The more money you have, the more skillful you get, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Koch brothers built an empire, but they started out with extremely wealthy.
Right.
So it's not like they started out. Rags to riches stories statistically, you know, the U.S. is behind Norway and Sweden and all these sort of social democratic countries that you would hear from the Koch brothers are really oppressive and leveling.
If you look at their motivation too, is that the, you know, the Koch family has been, long-time libertarians that have really despised the government because the government tried to regulate the refining business that was the centerpiece of their investments and their income. And so I forget which one of the Koch brothers, David or Charles, decided to run for office, you know, back probably 20 years ago.
As a libertarian.
As a libertarian candidate.
I have a friend who voted for him.
And,
as a vice president.
And,
he had
high hopes of changing the country through electing himself and other libertarians. And he garnered 1.6% of the vote. And
all the money for the campaign came from the Koch brothers.
Right.
I literally, I mean, I don't know, 90% of the money was from the Koch brothers.
Way outspent his competition and still only got 1.6% of the vote. After that is when they started looking at other means of controlling the country.
And their father was a member of Fred Koch was a member of the John Birch Society, yes. A founding member. John Birch Society, for younger listeners, was an extremist group back in the 60s and 70s. It still exists. It's been revived, I think. But they believe that Eisenhower was a communist and so forth and so on, and vast conspiracies of communists in the government. And they made McCarthy look like a liberal. These guys did.
I got invited to join up here at the Sedona Airport.
Did you?
I want to throw a personal note.
Good.
Personal.
Good.
Yeah,
did you join?
I did not.
But anyway, so it comes from a family of arch conservatives who have a lot of money, who've had a tremendous number of oil spills that they've been fined for. Very little wrist-slappy things. It's hard to believe that these billionaires care whether they're fined $10 million for dumping a bunch of oil in a river. It just seemed like any money, Gary.
I've mentioned this before. Back when I was more naive politically and working in the advertising business, Koch Refining was one of my clients. I was hired put together a public relations plan to convince people that their massive spill of jet fuel in the Twin Cities metropolitan area of Minnesota was something that was completely unavoidable. The jet fuel seeped into the Minnesota River and into the Mississippi. It seeped into all of the wetlands and into the main aquifer at the southern edge of the Minneapolis-St. Paul. And so they gave me all this information showing me that they had been through all the inspections. It was completely unavoidable. I found out after I made the presentation and ran a bunch of ads that everything they had told me was a lie.
Wow.
Absolutely a blatant lie. And they were then found guilty of unnecessary spill by the Minnesota Pollution Control Authority and were fined. Their fine of $10 million was, because I had worked on the account, I knew what their profits were. Their fine of $10 million for that massive spill was less than one day's net profit.
Well, this is often the case in so much of this stuff. We're talking about the Koch-topus this morning, folks. And yes, we want you to have the image of an octopus in your mind because the tentacles go out into all sorts of states and all sorts of political races. The Koch brothers even got involved in a school board race. And I'm sorry I don't have, but this is, in other words, there's no race too small or too large for them. You know, since we are throwing out numbers, the name of the show is Democratic Perspective, folks. And so very often we don't pretend, although we somehow end up being, presenting a more clear, reasonable picture. We want to talk about, Soros is a bit out of it. In Political Action Committee spending, Koch Industries in 2012, $5,938,000. Soros Fund Management, $0. 527, this is a typical, like a non-profit group, let's just call it that. 527 group contributions, 2001 to 2010. The Koch Industries, $574,000. Soros Fund Management, $0. Soros Fund Management is the name of George Soros's hedge fund. And, lobbying expenditures 1998 to 2010. Koch Industries $50,972,000. Soros Fund Management $860,000.
So the point is that the amount of money they have, and we're not talking about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce throwing money in here. And that's another way of money laundering, is that you can go to the Chamber of Commerce, not to your local Chamber of Commerce, but the national organization. And you say, well, you know, I have an oil company and we'd like to give you, you know, $25 million, and we'd like that money funneled to people, to candidates who oppose regulation of the oil industry. Chamber of Commerce does things like that. So,
incidentally, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, almost all of the issues that they support are issues that are helpful to large multinational corporations. Very little of what they do helps small business.
Yeah, they hide behind that name pretty, I want to say they hide, but certainly that name is not, we say Chamber of Commerce, I still think to this day, we get a kind of a warm American feeling.
Right. They're the local guys, the local
that.
Business people. That's
you
not
can
what
pretty
the
much forget
organization
that. And that's hard
is.
To do, though.
As a small businessman, the Chamber of Commerce, I used to do ads for the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, never did a single thing for my small business. Mm. I never supported a single issue that would help my small business, but large corporations, great.
Mm. Well,
there
that's
was,
where the money is.
Before we go on to about the Coctopus and this very, very complicated, story of how money, yeah, again, I'd repeat what we said earlier, and I'd see if Garrett, make sure Gary and Mike have a kind of, if you see an ad and you don't know who it's by, ignore it. These ads are highly produced. They're extremely deceptive.
And there's no limitations on the lies that you can tell in any form of this, of political advertising.
Yeah. Why don't you repeat that, Gary? Advertising,
you
can, Mike can...
Out and out lying.
You can lie at will and there are no repercussions. Unlike, advertising for products and services, there are all sorts of controls, and it's very difficult to blatantly lie. In political advertising, there are no controls.
That's something else that's hard to get used to. I think, we expect to hear a political ad, and especially out of a candidate's mouth or out of these nice little old people that they have or these cute little kids that they put on these ads. And we expect at least some measure of truth. And the truth is, Gary, you just said there's no measure of truth. It is an out and out bold faced lie.
And here's why is that these these campaign organizations are created under a name for a limited period of time. Just the organization exists just for the political campaign. Then if they lie and they're caught in a lie, the opposing candidate can sue. The FEC can go after them as well. Federal Elections Commission, but by the time it wends its way through the courts, the entity no longer exists. There's no money to pay off any fines, and so there are absolutely no repercussions.
These guys are laughing at me, but Steve wanted to squeeze. See, they wanted to talk about the McCutcheon decision this morning, because that's where a lot of this discussion is coming from. But I'm seeing it on the internet that if it's seen on the internet, it must be true. No, but so McCutcheon just takes us that much further. The Supreme Court decision just takes us that much further toward money being free speech.
That's correct. And there was a limitation. Now, we've been talking about all the hidden money, and there's almost no controls on it. But on direct contributions, there were controls. Let me just read out so you get an idea. The controls were you couldn't spend more than a total of $123,200. That's 48,000 to candidates, 74,000 to PACs, I think it's $2,600 per candidate. So you couldn't give directly more than $2,600 to candidate. So there was a cap on this so that, that you couldn't give money to everybody running for Congress because of this cap. And the McCutcheon's decision got rid of the cap on it, which means, and it really, it's been done in the name of, money is free speech,
right?
Money is free speech. Money is speech.
Look what I'm saying.
And it affected, I think there's only about 600 people that even reached that limit. But what it means now is that, these entities can hide, but now they can also do it. They can also contribute openly.
What you have to do is put three Supreme Court decisions together,
right?
Because it's a combination of three decisions that have changed the entire political landscape. One was, I believe, Valero, that the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, the five conservatives voted to a rule that money equaled free speech. And then there was a second in the three was was Citizens United, which ruled that, and essentially that corporations are people.
And the conservatives on the Supreme Court said, this is not really going to affect anything. This is not a big deal. Nothing's going to happen. And look how it totally changed the landscape.
All three decisions were 5-4 decisions with the 5 conservatives voting, in favor of them. And the first one undid the, McCain-Feingold, limitations on spending. The second one ruled that the corporations are people, and now McCutcheon has ruled that there can be no limits on what any individual, or in this case now corporations, can spend on political ventures.
As an aggregate, the $2,600 per candidate still stays. But in other words, you're in Arizona, you give to the candidates. Suppose you give to all the Republican candidates in Arizona. Now you can give to all the Republican candidates in the country. And this only applied to federal things. So I guess the thing to say is it's a really nasty step toward more money controlling politics, but it's actually a fairly small step given the actual landscape of all the hidden secret. We never even talk about black money, which is directly hidden money. We talk about dark money, which is funneled through all these organizations.
Yeah, I think most of us assume that there's money that, we're talking about dark money. It's hard to find. We're talking about black money that is impossible to find. But I want some really smart, doesn't have to be young, but let's go with a young lawyer out there to say, if the Supreme Court goes through all this to protect the rights of a few hundred people, then silence. Then we need a lawyer that's going to say, if you don't have any money, then you can't participate, and your rights are being trampled. And that's quite frankly millions of us that don't have the amount of free speech that other people have.
It's disenfranchising all of us because none of us can compete with them, the big money folks. And it really means that if you're an individual, you can vote. But you're going to be hearing ads. All your information is being coming from these the billionaires.
We only got a couple minutes left, but I do want to mention the Jim Polaro group, the Clean by 19, because hopefully you're going to hear a lot about it. Maybe you won't. Maybe you will. But the idea is that have clean elections by 1919, these guys got a 5-year plan.
2019.
Did I say 1919?
Yes, yeah.
2019.
Hard to do.
Well, that shows you what's
retroactive.
What century I'm kind of located in, but yes, 2019, the idea is clean by 19 is their motto. And you got to applaud their chutzpah. Getting money out of politics certainly solves a lot of crimes.
And it's starting here in Arizona.
They believe that if they can affect 3 races, then some of the national money from Common Cause and other organizations might come into to play. It is ambitious, and we'll go for it. We do want to talk about our sponsoring organizations. We want to talk about Democrats of the Red Rocks who have some stuff going on this month, don't they, Steve?
April 17th, Terry Goddard, who is a former Attorney General of Arizona, is running for Secretary of State.
Mayor of Phoenix, former Attorney General of Arizona.
Is going to be at the Door Breakfast on April 17th. It's being held at a larger venue at the Jewish Center, which is located about halfway between the village of Oak Creek and Sedona. So that's the major event. How about Dove? Any Dove events coming up?
Well, we are having a services for Dove, but you can come and attend those. That's all I'm going to say. That organization is
We may be having Jim Polaro from Clean by 19 speak this month, but right now it's up in the air. So.
You can get all these broadcasts that we do now for 3 years. This is sort of pretty close to our anniversary, 3-year anniversary.
Oh, April, yeah.
Yeah. On our podcast, you can get them on YouTube on VVID.org.
VVID.org is where you can find them. A lot of good information. And you can read some of the stuff, too. You don't have to listen to it. Gary does a great job of transcribing and interpreting.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.